can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
This is country. This is country.
This is not country.
Not country.
Who is it?
That's an electric guitar.
Cracker?
Sounds a little... What?
Cracker?
Crack ass cracker?
That's country.
It is?
This is not country.
It's
kind
of Tom Petty-ish.
Like rock.
Yes, absolutely.
Who is it?
Cracker.
Cracker.
If your name is Cracker and
crack
you got
ass
20,
cracker? Should know that.
This is country. I don't think you're allowed to say cracker on the radio.
Oh, yes, you can. We had a whole
cracker, saltine cracker, animal cracker.
Offensive.
You're offensive. Yeehaw nonsense.
I think if you were to call somebody that, it would be offensive.
I'm talking about the song.
Well, calling offensive and being allowed to be said on the radio are two different things.
Really?
Yes.
So we can say cracker.
Yeah, I've called myself a Florida cracker before.
Huh. All right, I don't want to offend anybody. I'm very careful about that.
Yeah, you are.
Because I'm confused.
What'd you call the GM of the Red Sox yesterday?
Chaim?
Chaim.
Chaim.
It's a very common Hebrew name.
By the way, I saw him yesterday for the first time. He's 6 years old. Chris looks older than
him.
Think
he was with Tampa Bay for 14 years.
14?
Yes.
How old is he?
He's
17.
He literally looks 17. He looks younger than Chris by 10 years, at least.
He's been around a long time.
He's been around. People are talking. All right, Scheman and Shepard.
He's under 50, obviously.
Under 50? He's under 30.
He's 36.
No way.
Yeah, well.
Call him BS.
No, because.
You can't do that.
Can't do that.
I can't call BS?
No.
Why?
Because that's his age. Born February 27th, 1983. Now,
I think he's padding his stats.
Remember, you can start very young. Doesn't mean when he was at the Rays, he could have been, the assistant to the assistant to the assistant's assistant. But that's how you move up.
Yeah.
Over there.
Moving on up, Wheezy.
You look at Theo.
Yeah.
What he did, not only with the Padres out there, but then with the Red Sox before he became GM. I mean,
that's the new trend. Everybody's a young GM in baseball.
Well, not everybody can do it. Billy Bean, he started very young too.
Yeah.
After baseball, worked his way up.
Well, by the way, Chris's musical selection aside, this is Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app on a Hump Day Wednesday. Hump Day.
He was actually hired in February of 2005 by the Rays to full time work in the minor league operations in October. He was promoted to assistant director of minor league operations in 2008 with responsibility for all aspects of the team's minor league system. So he worked his way up. This is not somebody that was just, given the job. He's got a lot of experience.
And who was the other dude with him at the table that looked older? Like Chaim looked like he was like the youngest.
Chaim. It's just disrespectful. Okay,
especially considering he's probably listening.
Oh, okay, Greg.
Now that's insulting.
Yeah. Was it Ron Reneke sitting next to him, or was it...
No, Reneke was next to him, but who was the other guy? There was a third wheel at the table.
Oh, it might have been Sam Kennedy, the president. I didn't see... It depends.
He looked
a little older, but yeah. Wasn't John Henry, was it?
No, it was not John Henry. I know what he looks like. Just the Utes of America running baseball
Jack,
now.
Though.
If all these young, brilliant people are running baseball, then why is baseball so old and outdated and they can't get it right as we just listened to...
Because they can only do so much without the owners interfering and the commissioner.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the owners getting involved, I want to get into this in a moment. Jim Crane. So I alluded to this a moment ago.
Speaking of shady owners.
So we got the whole cheating scandal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'll tell you what. Chris, time for a Sports Center rundown.
Well, that was kind of you. Yeah, thank you.
Keep the show on time.
Okay, the Florida Gators back on the court tonight. They're in College Station going up against Texas A&M, 99.3 ESPN. We're going to pick up coverage at 8, tip-off 8:30 on the SEC Network. On to the NBA, a doubleheader on ESPN tonight, tips at 7:30 with the Pacers hosting the Bucks. Good game there. That's followed by the Nuggets hosting the Lakers. Heat and Magic are both in action as well. The Heat continue their West Coast road trip. They're in Salt Lake City taking on the Jazz at 9. That's followed by the Magic hosting the Pistons at 7. Not followed by. That's just in addition to.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah.
So
that's okay.
We got this cheating scandal with the Astros. Most of the players have not said anything. In fact, really the only players that have good quotes are people that have moved on and are no longer with the Astros. In fact, I believe we have a soundbite from Marvin Gonzalez, who's now with Minnesota. He's in town here in Fort Myers, too.
Yep.
He says he's sorry for the cheating scandal that he was part of back in 2017. Let's take a listen to him before I get rolling here.
I'm here to tell how I feel and then just damn remorseful for everything that happened in 2017, everything that we did as a group, and then... And like the players that were affected directly by us by doing this and some other things, and then that's what I feel the more regret, and that's what I'm remorseful.
All right, first things first, Pete Shepard, do you accept this apology? You don't accept AB's multiple apologies. Do you accept these apologies, or are they just sorry they got caught? This is 3 years.
You accept this apology?
This is unbelievable.
I accept it. What am I going to do?
Craziness.
Did you just throw something?
Yes.
Break something?
Damage something in the studio, but that's okay.
Actually, let me rephrase. I don't accept it.
He's just sorry he got caught.
But it's different to me than AB. It's a lot different.
Okay.
It's just a different set of circumstances. I mean.
All right. So now let's.
Yeah, I think you're overall. Yeah, they're all sorry they got caught. Exactly.
But the main players of the Astros have not talked about this.
No, and they get off scot-free.
Now wait a minute now. Tomorrow, as a collective unit, they face the media for the first time in spring training, okay? So Jim Crane has called for a meeting today. Mm-hmm. In fact, the position players came in with pitchers and catchers a day early because Jim Crane has called a private closed-door powwow.
The
owner of the Astros.
Yeah.
To make sure, I presume, to make sure everybody is on the same page with the response. Now, my question is, Jim Crane acted all indignant and fired his general manager and fired his manager because of this. What do you think he's saying to his players to say tomorrow? What do you think the message is? Hey, guys, own up to it. Be clear and transparent or say nothing and move on. What is the message today?
Let's play a little game. who should I be? I'll be Zach Greinke.
All right.
You be
all
who
right.
you want. You're Craig Sheeman.
I'm Jeff
You're the Mike Wallace of ESPN.
Zach Greinke wasn't really – he wasn't there in 2017. Okay. Bregman?
I'll be Justin Verlander.
Bregman or okay.
Let me start with pitchers. I'll
Jose Altuve. Guys that benefited from this. Somebody.
Okay.
All right. Who are you?
Correa.
I'll be Jose Altuve.
Okay. Very good. And who am I?
Yeah. Yes. Please identify yourself for the world, and then
Stephanie Stradley of the Houston Chronicle.
Stand up, and somebody will hand a microphone to you.
Jose, Craig Sheeman from 99.3 ESPN in Fort Myers.
Mm-hmm. Next question.
What? No. Well, excuse me. I need to get my question out.
Oh.
What is your response to having been caught? With this cheating scandal, sign-stealing scandal, and do you think you should get rid of the World Series trophy? It's a loaded question.
You read the report.
Take your time.
You read the report.
I'm a lazy member of the media. I probably did not read the entire report. I just know basically the gist of it.
I think you should read the report first and then come back.
Well, that report says that you cheated. How do you respond?
Read the report.
The report,
everything's
I'm
in the report.
Told by my sources, that report says you cheated.
Everything's in the report.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're right.
Everything's in the report.
I think you're right.
So, Jim, you're telling me... Okay, out of character
Next
now.
Question.
You're telling me Jim Crane is sitting in front of his team in spring training in the locker room, in the clubhouse, saying, all right, guys, just refer everything to the report and the lawyers and refer it back to me. I don't want you saying anything for the next 162 games.
Every reporter will be acting like an attorney and have the same reaction because it'll all be... Object, vague, ambiguous. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to be. I think it's going to be a whole lot of nothing. I will be stunned if anybody learns anything new. There will certainly, in their answer, I'm sure everybody will be melancholy and Somebody will be, some will be standoffish. I can't, not everybody's going to act the same.
Alex Bregman.
But former, okay, hold on. But former players like Keuchel, the pitcher's now with the Braves.
Dallas Keuchel,
Dallas Keuchel, Marwin Gonzalez, they have expressed remorse. Now, they were big parts of the team, especially Keuchel. So they've expressed remorse elsewhere. You're telling me the players that are still there, there's going to be no remorse. There's going to be no, we're sorry we did this.
No, I think it'll be.
We still got to hit the baseball, whether I knew it was coming or not.
It'll be vague and ambiguous. I'm telling you, there'll be a lot of, there'll be some of that, but it won't sound, I don't think it'll sound very sincere.
They'll apologize, but we're not going to get anything new from it.
But if they go all out tomorrow and apologize, say it was wrong, but we've got to move on, it can end.
No,
if they waffle on this and they go vague, it's going to go on all season right into the playoffs.
I don't think there's anything that they can say tomorrow at any point during spring training or the regular season or the postseason if they make it that's going to make the story go away. Because, yeah, for the 81 home games, maybe the questions die down by the end of the year, but every time this team goes on the road and has a different pool of reporters coming into the locker room to ask them a question, all these questions are going to come back up to the surface again, and very fairly so, I think.
Unless something, and I think you're onto something there. But here's what I would ask. Because the reports were that A.J. Hinch was busting TVs with a baseball bat because he was so pissed about what was going on.
Twice.
Still, that's, I would ask them if, what the reaction was when they saw that. If and when they, and it was probably going to say, well, I didn't see
Gotta get a new TV monitor in here.
But I would ask about that and what your feeling was that that many of them, because I don't think everybody on the team agreed. This is a typical adolescent feeling here, even though they're not. They're grown men, but this is, we all jump. You know, I think a lot of people, I would say not everybody was happy what was going on, but they all went along with it because nobody wanted to rat anybody out until Verlander did at the end. You know,
Verlander was very staunch against cheaters when he was with the Tigers. Now he comes over to the Astros and he wants to win his first World Series. Okay, that's what came down. Now he joined a team that was already. Remember, he didn't join till like September 1st or August.
Yeah,
31st
it was late,
or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
He had a month to go. I don't know how. And this system was already in place, being used all season, presumably. But, so at this point, he and his supermodel wife have just moved to Houston. They got a month left in the season, and he's tasting his first World Series ring.
See, the Red Sox this week catch a break because it's still under investigation. So they have an out.
They can't comment.
They have an out.
That's what they can say.
That's what they can say.
We just named an interim manager because just in case.
Interim manager. And what I mean, the more and more this is taking longer and longer, certainly, Alex Cora, I think, is going to have some sort of suspension here. But I don't know if it's going to be this massive ban like we thought was going to be the worst. I don't know. I'm reading more and more that it may not be as severe. He's still going to get suspended. But wouldn't that be something? Say he's suspended half the season and comes back and manages the team.
Well, you might be right.
Which is what could happen.
But back to the Astros, I'm thinking just spill it all, answer every question, and then for the rest of the year, you can do what you just did. Oh, instead of saying it's in the report, you could say, look, we answered all the questions on the first day of training camp. It's over. We're moving on to whoever.
Okay, let me do this again. I'll be Altuve again.
All right, once again, you ask, yes. Jose, this is Craig Sheeman, 99.3 ESPN.
Hello, sir.
Hi, hola.
Hello, sir. I speak English.
Hola, senor. So, this report that's out, this cheating scandal, are you remorseful?
Yes.
Are you remorseful you got caught? Or are you remorseful for the actual act?
Yes.
Can you assure me that you will not partake in any of these shenanigans moving forward?
Yes.
You can? Oh, okay. Do you feel like the Astros should have an asterisk to the World Series title?
No.
Why not?
No.
No, the question was why not. It was not a yes.
Major
no
League Baseball's ruled on that already.
Mm-hmm. It's in the report.
That has nothing to do with the players.
It's in the report. But I do feel like I have remorse, and I regret that the whole situation happened. Next question.
So that's what Jim Crane is telling his team to say. Be remorseful. You regret it, but we're moving on.
If they all say the same thing, there's nothing left to report. If they all say the same thing, we are remorseful. We regret it, that it happened. It was stupid. And it won't happen again. So where do you go from there?
Make no mistake about it. Their answers will all be, and if they're having this kind of meeting today, they will all say the same exact thing.
But after, if I answer those questions in that fashion, where it's like, I'm sorry it happened. I apologize to the fans and Major League Baseball, and it will never happen again. And I'm moving on. So after that, where do you go? Where do you go?
I want blood.
No, I still would like to know some things about, you know, players when they, like I said, when they saw AJ Hinch smash TVs a couple times and how long did some know that was going, I mean, but I don't know if you know, if you're not, you're gonna, like, how long did you know?
Jose, do you feel like you stole a World Series from the Dodgers? Because they feel that way.
I'm telling you, we're not going to get any answers to those types of questions. We're going to get arbitrary.
No, or
we're very sorry that this happened. We're remorseful. Not that just that we got caught, but that we even did this. But if we have expectation that we're going to get any detail into how the sign stealing scandal got started, how it was executed, who was doing it specifically on the team,
and for how long,
we're not going to get any of that information.
Well, this is all one big tease.
That's exactly what it is. But at least we're going to get to hear him talk. And what I'm interested to see is, again, when this team is on the 2.5 week road trip, right? And they're on their last stop in New York.
Yeah.
When they're fed up about answering the same questions it's the middle of June, haven't hit the All-Star break yet. I'm excited to see the first blow up, because I think it'll happen with the characters on this roster.
Yeah.
Particularly Verlander and Bregman. Like, if they get off to a poor start, it's a very fair question to bring up to them. Hey, is it fair? You know, you were winning when you were cheating. Now you're not cheating. How hard is it to hit a curveball, actually, Bregman? I'm excited to see the first blow up from this.
Well, it could happen. What if the opposite happens? What if they get off to a good start?
Then they won't get the questions.
Well, no, I could still get the question, but I do
think. The question would be, are you still cheating?
I think by May, this will be over with. Unless some new bit of information comes out. I think by May, everybody will be sick of it, because it'll be the same answers, and that'll be it. I really believe that. I mean, it might come up if they were in a new city.
In all honesty, they probably should handle it like Belichick in the Patriot way and give them absolutely nothing until where it's so painful you don't ask the question anymore. You might be right.
But I don't know what else I can say. If they just say, you know, we're sorry, we're embarrassed by it, it shouldn't have happened, it won't happen again. After that, where do you go? On the whole, where do you go?
All right. Well, I don't know.
But
we'll find out tomorrow, perhaps.
Here, I'm looking real quick at their longest road trip of the season.
Well, I think you hit it on the head right there. Forget about the longest road trip. When are they in New York? When do they play New York, when they have New York media asking real questions?
So they got the Yankees at home, weekend series, May 15th through May 17th.
Those will be your first fireworks.
Then they go to, there will be a couple guys getting hit with baseballs there. For sure.
Again,
the Yankees, Astros.
Yeah, but see, that could
be a major. I'm disappointed they don't play the Dodgers this year.
That's a major. That could end up being a major issue, and I can't wait to see how the umpires are going to handle it. I mean, you can't issue warnings.
Oh, Joe Torre's going to have to issue a preventative statement.
Well, you can't issue warnings to do that before every game.
They don't play the Yankees in New York until Monday, September 21st.
I think there will be some sort
of second to last series of the year.
Yeah, but still, Yankee reporters will come down to Houston to cover that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There'll be secret email sent out to everybody about throwing at the Astros. I'm sure that he's not going to tolerate it.
If I'm one of those bullpen arms and you took a ring off of my finger, I'll get tossed.
Maybe out of the league now because your ERA was a little high in 2017. There's a couple guys suing right now to try and get money.
Get an Aroldis Chapman two-seamer in the middle of the back.
Oh.
Go and cheat again. See what happens. I'm dead serious about that. Aroldis Chapman. Springer leads off for them, right?
Yeah.
Right in number four's back.
But now let me ask you this, Chris.
Absolutely. And that is fair.
A lot of that I agree with. However, I am also under the assumption that every other team is also doing their version of some kind of cheating. And I'm wondering if it's just kind of expected.
Sorry, you took the ring off my finger. Those other teams cheated, and they still couldn't beat us.
But I see
you
guys
took the ring off.
But I see guys doing interviews, even like Big Poppy, are like, yeah, you know, it's a lot easier when you know a pitch is coming. But then he kind of let it die down because I think he knows everybody's trying to get an angle. Everybody.
It's fine getting an angle.
So you beam Springer. Then what?
Then we're moving on. Then we're playing.
Then you nail Altuve. You got to throw it a little lower.
And then you get ejected immediately, so you're gone.
But again, did you listen to my statement?
Oh, no,
it's Aroldis Chapman. You got your starter already warming up, knowing that Chapman's getting tossed after the first or second pitch of the game.
That's too obvious, Chris.
We're not messing with the rotation or anything.
I think the umpires, everybody in baseball is going to be well aware of this. I think the Astros ratings are going to go through the roof no matter who they play. And it's good that MLB... with the package, the first usually 10 days to 2 weeks are usually free because I will be tuned in to every single game.
Are you telling me this is the best thing that's happened to baseball since steroids?
It might be.
At least for
a couple of weeks.
Their first game is Thursday, March 26th on ESPN against the Angels.
Yep.
We have a texter named Tom Brady as Thanos.
Do we?
He's 100%,
what a great
100%
text
agreement
name.
With Chris.
What
I would
great
them
texter
also.
Name.
I love it. That's fantastic.
And I'm not throw a baseball at a guy. That's not me. I don't like that part.
No.
But I think that this is very warranted.
It's warranted?
Absolutely.
But that doesn't give you your ring
controlled.
Back. This doesn't give you your career back. This doesn't give you more money. It doesn't solve anything.
But you feel better.
No, I think you feel better if you strike him out. That's just me
personally. Have you ever screamed into a pillow?
Yeah, but that's...
What does it accomplish?
Nothing.
But you feel better.
But I'm not hurting anybody.
This is my point. Oh,
if you miss
hurting somebody.
No, but if you miss and beat him in the head, that could have serious repercussions.
I've actually never screamed into a pillow, ever.
You've never screamed into a pillow?
No, I just scream out loud.
Okay, this is the same premise, Craig Sheeman.
Just like, bleep!
And you actually scream bleep, don't you? Not even the curse word.
Back in my younger days,
Dabbit!
Son of a gun!
Darn it!
Golly gee!
Sheesh.
Sheesh!
I've had to start doing that at my house.
Darn it! Well, yeah. Ever since the Dolphins beat the Patriots on the Miracle in Miami 2 seasons ago.
Sugar plums and raspberries. That's my go-to.
Those are good.
That's my go-to.
By the way, quick little NFL note. Mason Rudolph, his appeal... is being upheld by the league, so the $50,000, that's being upheld.
That's for the...
It's a legitimate fine for him.
Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
That's a legitimate fine for him.
Wait, he was on the bottom of the pile trying to get up from underneath the 300-pound man. And yeah, he had to grab something, and so he grabbed the helmet.
No. Mason, I'm just saying, like, $50,000 to him, that's a real fine.
Oh, yeah, he's
It's not $50,000 for Tom Brady.
Right.
Not saying... You know,
I don't know what he makes.
Not much. Relatively.
Well, he was a fourth round pick?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's making six figures a year, not seven.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not life-changing money yet. So, all right. Very good. So, a pretty good conversation there. If you want to jump on, it's 239-337-ESPN. Lots of sports here today.
A sporting station.
A sporting station.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN. And the 99.3 ESPN app on a hump day Wednesday. Spent a lot of time talking some college athletics today with Mark Emmert and the NCAA and pay for play. I want to just take a slight left turn, a couple other football notes I want to make sure that we get to here before the day is through. Michigan State has a new football coach. It is Mel Tucker from Colorado.
Hold on.
Yes.
Surely you jest. Don't call me Shirley.
No, Shirley.
Hang on. It says right here.
Mm-hmm.
I have it.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yes.
From February 8th.
Yes.
Mel Tucker, yes. Twitter. Says it right here.
Mm-hmm.
While I am flattered to be considered for the head coaching job at MSU football, I'm committed to the CU Buffs football for the hashtag the build of our program.
Yep.
It's great. Athletes, coaches, and supporters. Hashtag unfinished business. Hashtag go Buffs. We are hashtag relentless. Hashtag culture. Hashtag the build. Now, you're making this up.
That was February 8th.
It was.
On
that was
February 9th,
4 years ago. Four days ago.
On February 9th, Michigan State said, well, wait a minute. We can't be 0-2. That's embarrassing. Let's throw more money at him, and we're going to get him as our next head football coach.
Are you telling me that in this country, in this day and age, that people are motivated by money? Is that what you're saying, Craig Schieman?
Sometimes.
Come on.
Sometimes.
Surely you jest. You would not be motivated by money.
Wrong.
If, like we brought this up, you would not go to Alaska for $1 million if you could not leave that state for 10 years.
That's Alaska.
Well, you're not motivated by money.
I am in some certain instances. Here, look, they came back and they said, look, we're gonna pay you and give you other commitments. You're our guy. Boom. I don't blame him.
Been there a year. He went 5-7.
Yeah, it's 5-7. It was his first year in the program. And he was not their Michigan State. Their first choice was Luke Fickell at Cincinnati. He very publicly said no. There were some concerns about the atmosphere around there at Michigan State. That was an embarrassing for the Spartans. So then they come after Mel Tucker, who was on their shortlist. He says no, issues his little Twitter response there, staying in Colorado, and then Michigan State has to come back at him. Because I think their third choice was Brett Bielema.
Yeah, another little nugget that happened just a little while ago today. Tucker, according to ESPN, Tucker went to the Colorado facility today, this morning earlier, and wanted to address the team before departing from Michigan State, but was informed, no, you are not welcome.
Oh.
Athletic Director Rick George said at a news conference today that Tucker did not address the team before resigning.
How do you feel about that? I think that's cold because of the kids.
Well,
you gotta let them say goodbye, yes? Or?
Are the kids going to be hurt? I mean, they're obviously hurt.
Well, now they can transfer.
Does it do more damage than good?
I think a guy that, I don't know.
I mean, because it's happened the way it happened, because it was in 40. This is not something, you know, where who's going to just get fired, then address that they had a going away press conference, which is rare.
Ron Rivera.
That's a rare scenario where that happens.
Usually,
really is.
Usually coaches get a chance to say goodbye to their team. Usually. Because that's what they say. Hey, say goodbye to my kids, and then now I'm off to the private jet.
48 years old. You know, replacing again D'Antonio, as you all know.
Yes.
But it ties into what we were talking about before. So all those recruits and any that are left that want to go there, and people who are, and kids who are on that team right now, they should be able to transfer and just go play wherever they want.
We just had signing day.
Yeah.
We just had signing day.
They should not be committed to that. They were committed. Those kids in Colorado should be able to go wherever they like.
In fact, Drew Pearson's son was one of the recruits.
That's right.
He's had a tough couple weeks. He had the very public, all the social media cameras were on him at his house when he learned that he was not going to be, was it the Hall of Fame? It was the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame, yes.
He's only the only top 100 player or something, not... I don't know. He didn't make it. So that was probably now he's very upset at Mel Tucker, calling him a liar. He's not a liar. He changed his mind between February 8th and February 10th. All right, that's what happened. We're human beings. I think we're allowed to change our mind.
Tell, are you being sarcastic or no?
I'm being serious.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think a man. Look, I'm not calling him a liar because he changed his mind. He turned down Michigan State. They came back with more whatever, probably money. And then he changed his mind. You can change. That doesn't make you a liar.
No. Did you ever have an opportunity where you signed on with a station? And because this happened to me many, many years ago before I got to Boston. I was working at where it wasn't necessarily a contract back then because it wasn't a huge station. It was like a medium market station.
Yeah.
But I just started that day, and I got an offer from a big station in Atlantic City, believe it or not, back in the day. And I turned it down because I felt horrible. And it was for like almost triple what I was getting but at the time in 1989. But has that ever happened to you? I really thought long and hard about it. I was talking to my parents about it because I just moved. I was only, you know, whatever it was, 22 years old. I just moved to Massachusetts. That was my first time really, really away from home.
Yeah. I've had the opposite happen to me.
Really?
I tried to get a job, interview a job, they told me, no, we're going in another direction. And then 9 months later, they went satellite and fired everybody. So had I moved my family, I would have lost. In fact, I've had that happen to me twice where I didn't get a job I was really kind of in the mix for.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, had I gotten it, it would have been disastrous for me and my family. So
Things happen for some reason.
Hopefully, if you're lucky, it works out the right way for you.
Well, yeah. Well, at the time, the only reason I really had, because at the time, sports radio was like WFAN, and that was it. And that was my goal from like a teenager.
Triple the money, huh?
Not a teenager.
You turned down triple the money,
yeah.
Huh?
We're not talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars either. So, I mean, but it would have made a difference. It actually found that I was looking at apartments, and it actually found an affordable place. You don't really live in downtown Atlantic City.
Yeah.
It's not the greatest of areas, to be honest with you. But I found a place that was within a half hour. And I seriously thought about it because I'm like, okay, I can use this as a stepping stone to get to FAN eventually.
Yeah.
But then everything happened. And, then the sports radio business kind of boomed a few years later, and the rest is history. But had I taken that job, I'm convinced I would not be here.
Yeah. Well,
I'm convinced of it.
You're probably right. Mm. Things work out for a reason.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to call Mel Tucker a liar.
I'm not either.
I'll even go further back, and this is going to sound ridiculous to a lot of people. I actually would give Nick Saban the same benefit of the doubt that when he said he was staying in Miami and not going to be the head coach at Alabama, I think there's more than a 50-50 chance that that day, at that moment, at that hour, that was true, and then things changed. It doesn't make him a liar when these coaches say, no, I'm staying. Things change. Well, offers happen. Business takes place. Then they make decisions. Then they move on. Now, some just flat out lie to your face. There's no question about it. But I'm willing to give people like that a benefit of the doubt.
I mean, Rick Pitino has said, and John Calipari and a lot of other coaches said, they all say they're never leaving, and most of them do at some point.
Yeah.
I remember when Calipari took the Nets job, how many denials did he have? How many denials?
I know, but they're also.
And then
here's
$5 million, which is a lot of money back then.
But they're in a tough spot because they can't tell. They can't tell.
I agree.
I don't know. If I'm a coach, I don't owe you, media person, a truthful answer right now. If I'm trying to work on a $5 million deal for my family behind the scenes, but it's not a done deal yet, I don't owe you anything.
I'm just saying maybe don't come out and be so precise. In other words, don't ever say never. You can say, no, I'm right now. All he had to say was right now I'm part. He didn't have to come out and say what he said. He could just say, right now I'm part of a great program here at Colorado, and I'm looking forward to moving in a positive direction. That's all you have to say.
Let me spin it, though, because you can't be like that, because we know in college sports, as soon as you crack the door that there's a possibility you won't be at your school 1 year, 2 year, 3 years down the road, your rival who's competing for the same student athlete to come play at their school instead of yours is going to go to that living room or contact him over the phone and say, look, you shouldn't go to Colorado. You need to go to Colorado State because our coach is going to be here. Yeah. Their coach, look at the quote. He said, as of right now, he's going to be the Colorado coach. You don't know what that means.
I know.
So they're put in a really tough spot, college football and basketball coaches, especially with the timing of National Signing Day. Now it's even worse because of the early signing period, which has really turned into the national signing period.
Yes.
There's not a solution to this.
No, there isn't.
I am sympathetic toward these coaches. I always have been.
But I'm saying is, though, Chris, he said, while I am flattered to be considered for the HC job at MSU, I am committed to see you bust football.
For
the hashtag, the build of our program, it's great athletes, coaches, and supporters.
When was National Signing Day?
February 3rd, 4th, something like
that. So he says this a week after National Signing Day?
Yeah. 4 days later. It's tough.
Yeah, I mean,
you can make an argument for
both
sides.
I mean, the job wasn't open until, look.
There's that as well.
Timing is weird, right?
Yep.
It's not like, I'll bet you if you asked him 3 weeks ago, did he think he'd be at Michigan State? No. Mark D'Antonio was still the head coach.
Yeah.
He was recruiting players as hard as he could to get them to sign for Signing Day. He did his job. He got them in. Michigan State made an offer. He turned it down. They came back with more. He accepted it. That doesn't make him a liar.
And that's fine. Just allow the kids of Colorado to transfer immediately if they want to and go wherever they want.
And
they don't have to sit out.
And they can.
That's all I ask.
Let's go.
That's fair.
239-337-ESPN. 239-337-3776. Here's Nick in Bonita. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up, Nick?
It's funny because same exact thing just happened to me yesterday, where I had accepted a position at like 11:30 in the morning, and then at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, another job offer came in for twice the pay.
Wow!
And I'm like, oh, what do I do here? And I've called in before talking about this with you guys, talking the NCAA and paying the kids and everything for like that. And I'm not sure if you guys know where I stand on that, but I'm probably in the minority that I'm adamantly against it.
Yep.
But this is case in point the reason why. And for every time, Pete, you say, oh, don't give me the excuse that they go for free, I also don't want to hear the excuse of, well, they also bring in millions of dollars to the program. Both are given.
Yeah.
But what I want to say is, once we start allowing kids to benefit in this role, they're going to start doing the exact same thing that we're chastising head football coaches of doing, is leaving programs who 5 days ago you say you're committed to, and then the minute somebody else throws more money in your face, you do what everybody else would do, and you go off and you take the job.
Well, hey, Nick, what did you do? Did you take the job that came in later that paid double?
No, I stayed with the job because I gave my word. Because, unfortunately, I think that's a dying breed, like Pete said in the past. You know, certain people are raised to be men of their word as opposed to taking the ultimate
But Nick, I respect your position, but all I'm saying is these kids should be allowed to benefit off their own image. There is nothing wrong with that. I'm sorry.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with
that. Well, that's all it is.
What I'm saying is that there are a bunch of other kids there that we don't see propped up on the big screen every Saturday or every night playing basketball that are also bringing in thousands of dollars to the school for something else that they get no credit for, and they have to pay a full way. All I'm saying
they get
is,
a scholarship,
guys, in 5
yeah.
years from now, if we're all still here, I'll buy you all a 12-foot sandwich bet. 5 years from now, this is going to turn into a headache for exactly this thing, because kids are going to go to a school, and then all of a sudden, some other state that now is allowing them to benefit off their name and likeness is going to offer them more money, and they're going to now, once committed to X, go off and say, you know what? I'm going to go and play for wherever I can make more money. We're going to turn the NCAA into the minor league for the NFL.
That's what it is, though, Nick. That's what it is.
Nick, isn't this already happening with the transfer portal? A kid shows up on campus as a freshman, doesn't get to play as a freshman, then hits the transfer portal and leaves and goes somewhere else?
And for I'm mentally weak, I don't like the snow, I don't like the sun, the grass doesn't grow.
No, I'm serious.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Well,
there's all these little guys,
and I agree. The transfer portal obviously has its weaknesses in it. I didn't agree with that at all. If you're going to transfer because you don't like it and it's too cold, I think there are too many excuses in the transfer portal that allows kids to just, I can cite to a physical or a mental thing that I didn't like, so now I'm going to get away with the whole sitting out for 1 year. If you leave, I think you should have to sit out for 1 year. So I don't agree with the transfer portal.
Well, why should you have to sit out for 1 year? If you're committed to a coach and the coach, like with Tucker, gets up and leaves, why should the kid have to be committed? He committed to that coach and that program the way it's run. Why should he have to stay if the coach says one thing and 4 days later jump ship?
I'm not saying I'm disagreeing with the fact that the kid should be able to leave. I called in to talk about how kids are going to start using, going to be able to get more money in another position.
No, but you just said, no, hang on, Nick. You said
hold
the
on
kid,
one second. Let me work on Nick's line real quick, because it was getting bad.
All right, yeah. Because you're talking about, I do think the kid should have to sit out 1 year. Well, should the coach have to sit out 1 year if he jumps ship in 4 days?
I will say this, a spinoff to Nick's call and something we've talked about. I don't think we're going to be in a situation where one state does one thing and one state does another. I think it's going to be all 50 states. It's got to be.
I agree.
Whether Congress gets involved or Mark Emmert fails or creates a uniform playing field because he stumbles into it. It's going to be all for nothing. I don't think we're going to have Florida kids getting to get their own likeness and Georgia kids not. I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong about that. I think we got Nick's phone back here. Nick, go ahead. I'll give you the final word.
No. And listen, guys, there are pros and cons for both sides of the story. And I know I'm in a minority. And I know the NCAA is already the junior league for the NFL and for the NBA and all the other major sports. But the minute we start bringing in money, it's going to do nothing but to poison these children. Because that's what they are. They're kids. They're 18, they're 19, they're 20 years old. And when 45-year-old guys who have been in the NBA or the NFL for 30 years walk out and they can't manage their money, don't start handing millions of dollars to an 18-year-old kid and expecting them to just run with it and feel confident that it's not going to turn into another NFL, which is what it's going to do.
Well, you start talking about that, and 18-year-old kids making money. You can apply that to everybody in entertainment business. You know, you hope they have good management, good parents, or somebody that's a good accountant that can handle their money.
Yeah, look, I don't.
What's some 9-year-old in Hollywood that can get $30 million a year not going to take it? I mean, it's this stuff happens. It's just entertainment.
Well, no.
It's a business, number one, first. College sports is a business.
Some of them are a business. Some of them are not a business. We ran through some of the
expenses, but
the swimming team at any school is not a business. It's an athletic program. But when you get into football, a handful of men's basketball, a handful of women's basketball, a handful of softball programs across the country, that's when you start getting into the gray area because there is TV revenue attached to it. But I hear what you're saying, Nick. I disagree with it, but
I respect your opinion totally.
All right, good conversation. 239-337 ESPN. Don't forget tonight, 6 ranked teams take the court. None of them are getting paid legally in college hoops, including top 25 matchups between Creighton and Seton Hall, Kansas and West Virginia. Be paying special attention to these games because on Friday at 3:45, we'll have our brand new Friday Sports Test. Brought to you by the Boathouse on Naples Bay. Visit the Boathouse on Naples Bay, overlooking the glistening waters of Naples Bay, and enjoy a terrific lunch or dinner or their signature happy hour from 3 to 6 daily. I'm going to ask one listener on Friday at 3:45 three questions about the week that was in sports. And for each correct answer you give, you get a $25 gift card from the Boathouse in Naples Bay. If you get all three, you get $75. I mean, it's fantastic. It's a lot of fun. And we're looking forward to this right here on Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
I thought they were coming.
Sheeman and Shepherd. Easy, Pete Shepherd. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
I thought the Commodores were coming.
A couple things I want to get in here on a short segment. Spent a lot of time talking college football. First of all, you know what? I made an executive decision. I was going to do a police blotter today. Chris, you mentioned it in your first update. I'm just put it on the record. I don't want to. Our police blotters are kind of...
They're not fun.
They're not fun, no. But they kind of are making fun of people, and we're loose with them, and we have some fun. I don't want to do that with this story.
We want the small marijuana arrest.
Yeah.
We can talk about that.
Yeah. But we're still putting these names on the police blotter.
Rape and kidnapping. They're serious charges.
Is his last name Rape? Riep? R-I-E-P. Amir Ripe. And Jason Wint from Ohio State. These are upperclassmen, the guys that play on the defense.
Ripe's played 33 games and Wint has played 25 games. Did I get those numbers right?
Yeah. One of them had a girlfriend in the apartment that they shared together, and she didn't want any more amorous behavior going on. She wanted to stop. The roommate comes in, and they both... I'm just going to leave it at that. You know what happened here. They're both being charged with rape and kidnapping.
They've both been suspended from all team activities by Ohio State as well.
Yeah.
Hey, Big Wally, a.k.a. Jonas Grumby, who used to live here and then now is moved to Colorado but follows us all the time.
Listens on the app.
He said, I can tell you boys that fans here in Colorado are not happy with Mel Tucker this afternoon, but I think his choice is understandable. The man has to do what's best for his family. The Buffs will survive, but they are losing a good coach.
Now, do you know who they want next to replace him at Colorado?
They said this. Well,
hold on. Let me guess.
He's a Colorado alum.
Oh, yeah. Eric
Cordell Stewart?
Eric Bieniemy.
Eric Bieniemy. Now, the question is.
You can't take that if you're Bieniemy.
You can't take that job.
No.
Now, it's your alma mater. Maybe you got a soft spot for
I don't care.
And you're going to be a head coach, and you have not been given a fair shake by the NFL. And again, it's an African American.
But I feel like you're letting the NFL off the hook.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, if you're Colorado, you must know that even if you hire him, probably he's going to leave after a year because he will definitely get a job next year.
So that's two coaches that leave after 1 year. Yeah. And I don't think Bieniemy wants to do that to his alma mater,
either.
Right?
I'm
not going to take that job if I'm going to leave to be a head coach.
Right.
But then he's got to be wondering, am I ever going to get a chance?
He's got to get a chance.
We say that.
We've been saying it for two
years.
Coaching cycles now. We've been saying that he needs to get a job. He deserves to have a job. As a head coach. But then again, offensive coordinator of Kansas City, who's bringing back
everybody
on the offensive side of the ball.
Great chance to get back to the Super Bowl.
You know, they're losing a lot on defense.
Yep.
They are losing a lot on defense. Breland, who had a pick in the Super Bowl, they're losing. They're losing Suggs. They're losing Chris Jones. Reggie Ragland played some good football at linebacker for them. They're losing him. All unrestricted free agents. So that side of the ball might look a little bit different. But offensively, they're going to be top of the league again.
Well, it depends. You don't know because maybe, I mean, the Pats are losing, you know, Van Noy and probably Devin McCourty. Maybe Patriots take some of their Kansas City guys and those two go over there. I mean, I could see that happen.
Well, conversation ends with you having somebody end up in New England. Except Tom Brady.
Would McCourty and Matthew be a nice safety combination in Kansas City? I think so.
For people that are out there that are good, solid players.
All right. A lot of fascinating conversations. Nobody's going to Detroit. In fact,
a lot of good defensive tackles are hitting the market this year.
Well, we need one of those.
A lot of really good defensive tackles. I went through my AFC teams today and looked at some of their notable free agents and defensive tackles.
I'm just going to throw it out there. If things don't work out with Matt Patricia this year, I'd be all for Eric Bienemy coaching the Detroit Lions.
Of course you would.
Of course, we won't have football in 2021.
Not
for a while.
You're wrong about that. Sides are already talking is a great thing.
It's a facade.
It's a total facade.
That's right. You guys are pessimists. I forgot.
No, we're realists.
No, just have a little more experience in life, and we've seen this song and dance before, Chris.
There'll be at least one game that's missed.
Combined, you guys have 75 more years experience than me.
Yes.
Fact. And this is as bad as I've what's being proposed and how these discussions are going down. It's as bad as I've heard it in a long, long time, maybe since 87.
All right. The big-time four. You don't ever want to miss the 4 o'clock hour.
Never.
If you miss the 4 o'clock hour, people all around Southwest Florida are always talking about the 4 o'clock hour. And then they're like, what did I miss? Well, tune in. Or check out our app at 993ESPN.com. You can replay that at your leisure. We've also got Wikipedia. What is Wikipedia today? It is more movie trivia coming up.
2000s movies.
All right.
A bit of a forte for me.
Okay. A forte for you.
Yeah.
This is your wheelhouse.
Oh, 2000s movies?
But not
absolutely.
Pete?
Oh, it's my wheelhouse.
I'm sure Pete's really good with them. Okay. I just know that for me, 2000s movies, heyday.
Okay.
Heyday.
All right. All that coming up. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.